Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
We're going to talk about the Chicago Cubs here, and I want to talk about one player specifically, because after an incredibly hot month of April, he's cooled off a little bit at the plate. This guy has been a lightning rod for conversation, not just with what will happen to him, the player, but what will happen to the Chicago Cubs as an organization moving forward if they do or don't sign this player to an extension. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker, obviously traded in the offseason, big move from Jed Hoyer. I think Cubs fans have kind of forgotten a little bit, or maybe gotten a little foggy about what it's like to have an elite bat in the lineup. And this guy from the jump has proven his worth, especially in the month of April. The guy had an absolutely fantastic month of April. Just a quick, easy way to look at it, Kyle Tucker, .279 with a .386 on base percentage, .549 slugging, and OPS plus of 163. And I can't help but notice, and maybe you've heard it, and maybe you don't go on socials, and if you don't, good for you. But I will tell you, there is a small faction of Cubs fans right now that are turning on Kyle Tucker because he's had a little bit of a cold month, are asking themselves, is he really worth X amount of dollars? So in April, when he was going good, he's easily worth $500. When he's struggling a little bit in May, God forbid, as some major league players do from time to time, all of a sudden he isn't worth his weight in gold. And now he's vastly overrated. And I just want to pump the brakes on both sides of that argument and try and walk you through a little bit what is exactly at stake right now for the Chicago Cubs. And I'm going to walk through some of these arguments. And I'm going to try and hammer home why this is a inflection point, a pivot moment for the Chicago Cubs. They need to sign Kyle Tucker to a long-term extension. It's a mandate. It is a must. If the Chicago Cubs do not come to an agreement with Kyle Tucker on an extension, it will be one of the bigger betrayals a Cubs organization, a Cubs front office has ever done to a Cubs fan base before. Now, the first pushback on that one, right, is, well, if we lose out on Kyle Tucker, the best way to build a long, sustainable, successful franchise is to grow your own prospects, to have your own homegrown kids come up and produce for you. Look at Pete Crow Armstrong, for example. Now, I don't mean to single Pete Crow Armstrong out as a mode of criticism. I think he's playing great baseball. It is incredible to see. And yes, I think he has a very bright future for the Chicago Cubs in center field. And him turning down a $75 million deal earlier this year, smart move by him thus far. We'll see how it plays out. We're only 25% into the season at best. But for those of you that think PCAs just grow on trees, or you can just go back in and trade him for prospects is the old narrative the Cubs fans like to do. I'm telling you, it is not that easy. If you look back, go back to 2021 when the Chicago Cubs traded the Cubby core. Something that I'll be honest with you, at the time I was not on board with, but in some aspects I understood. I didn't think you needed to trade all of them. I still maintain that you should have hung on to Anthony Rizzo, and I still think they should have not non-tendered Kyle Schwarber, but that's a discussion for another day. But go back and look at those trades. And you can say to yourself, yes, out of the Cubby core, we were able to get Pete Crow Armstrong, a young player under control, exciting, amazing, defensively, one of the best in the game, leading the team right now, as of this taping on Wednesday in home runs. top five in stolen bases. Every time he comes up to the plate, he is must watch. But the hit percentage of these trades is the reason why, when you have a sure thing like Kyle Tucker, you have to lock him up. So you're telling me that if you trade the offensive core of a team that won a World Series, that snapped a streak of over 108 years of championship futility here in Chicago on the north side, you trade away Anthony Rizzo, you trade away Javi Baez, and you trade away Chris Bryant, and the only thing that you get out of that is Pete Crow Armstrong? That is a tough, tough pill to swallow. It's tough to wrap your head around. I'm happy that we had Pete Crow Armstrong. I find it incredibly ironic that El Mago, one of the more electric players that we've seen in Chicago in quite some time, was the player in the deal that brought back another electric player like Pete Crow Armstrong. But when you cash your chips in on a World Series winning core, and to this point, only one player comes out of it, it shows the risk and the risk value in just bringing it in young kids after young kids, trying to grow it homegrown, as Jed Hoyer's been trying to do for the last several years. Yes, it works, but you have to inject a youth movement with veteran savvy, with veteran elite production. This is a scenario that the White Sox are going to have to go through. This is a scenario that the Blackhawks are going to have to go through. And the Chicago Cubs had been going through it. But as you see, they've added players like Dansby Swanson. They've added players like Kyle Tucker. And now they're in first place in the NL Central. And they might actually have a team that can really compete in the National League this year. So back to my original thought that fans are giving Kyle Tucker a hard time right now. For me personally, the Chicago Cubs baseball season has officially begun over this past week. They played two really good teams out of the NL. They played the San Francisco Giants and they played the New York Mets. They went 2-4 in that stretch. Not great, but also not terrible. Both teams with better records than the Cubs walking into both of those series. And the Chicago Cubs got off to a start offensively that, honestly, write it down in your diaries. I don't think we're going to see a ton of that in the rest of our lives. I think their type of start was an anomaly. They were scoring close to 7 runs a game. Up and down the lineup, guys were off to white-hot starts. And yes, since April 22nd, right around the time when the Cubs had that incredible 11-10 victory over the Los Angeles Dodgers in that comeback, yes, the team has scored some runs, but let's be fair, there has been a slight drop-off in offensive production during that time. The Chicago Cubs, a really good offense, have come back to earth just a little bit. It hasn't been a wild pendulum swing, mind you. But it hasn't been the white-hot juggernaut start where in the Chicago Cubs, last week I was giving you all the numbers, first and run scores, first and run differential. They're still leading in a lot of those categories. But they have come back to the pack just a little bit. For reference, a lot of these players and their hot starts have now kind of adjusted back to the mean. And what do I mean by that? Michael Busch, on April 20th, was hitting .316. On May 1st, he walked into May hitting .282. Heading into Wednesday, we'll see where he is on Saturday, but at this time of this taping, he's hitting .254. So he's come back down a little bit. PCA, April 25th, .295. May 1st, .266. Still hitting .267, and he's hitting for power. He's leveled off. He's been pretty consistent. Ian Happ, currently on the injured list right now. His numbers have been pretty much the same across the board. So has Nico Horner's. But guys like Carson Kelly. Oh, the legend of Carson Kelly. On April 19th, hitting .419. May 1st, .364. Right now, down to .300. Guys get hot. Guys get cold. Somewhere they meet in the middle. Same can be said for Seiya Suzuki right now. Now, Seiya's off to a great start. And I think that he's having an all-star caliber start to his season. He's got over 30 RBIs. He's got double-digit home runs. He's on track for a huge year. But, again, on April 11th, hitting .302. May 1st, hitting .295. This month in May has been atrocious for Seiya Suzuki. His average is down to 239. Kyle Tucker the same. April 22nd, 320. May 1st, 278. Now hitting 262. And the only player really that has improved during that stretch is on April 16th, Dansby Swanson was hitting 169. May 1st, 213. Now he's up to 245. He's on one of those heaters right now. So Kyle Tucker, like a lot of people, like a lot of players in the in Major League Baseball, is going through a little bit of a stretch where he's a little cool right now. I'm not going to say cold. I'm going to say a little cool. And Cubs fans, that's okay. We have a selective memory. When it is a 162-game season, I feel like sometimes we have a tendency to forget that this is a long road. There are peaks and valleys. And Kyle Tucker just so happens to be in a little bit of his own version of a valley right now. And even when he's in that valley, he's still pretty damn good. He's still racking up triples. He's still driving in runs. He's still doing all the stuff that he needs to do. And for those of you jumping off the bandwagon of we shouldn't pay Kyle Tucker whatever it takes, I will tell you that just based on that month of April, Kyle Tucker has posted one of the better starts to his career and one of the better starts a Chicago Cub has to start his season among some of the greats in Cubs history. Now, I'm not going to go all the way back to Hack Wilson. I'm not going to do that, all right? But I am going to provide you a little bit of a reference point of where Kyle Tucker was to start the season, what he's doing right now, even through a little bit of a slump, and what it is compared to some of the great offensive seasons from some of the great Cubs hitters in our history, and it's going back at least 40 to 50 years. So as I mentioned, I did a little bit of an exercise here. And with Kyle Tucker, I'm strictly going off of OPS plus. OPS plus is a stat that definitely measures putting together your OPS, your OPS and your batting average together and trying to create a bit of a metric to see how good you are and how productive you are in Major League Baseball. So Kyle Tucker in the month of April. Now keep in mind, I'm just talking about April right now because the rest of Kyle Tucker's season hasn't been written yet. And yes, caveat to this, there are moments and seasons when guys get hot later, guys get hot earlier. But typically, when a player embarks upon a special season, the peaks and valleys aren't quite as distinct as you would imagine. There's pretty much a level playing field, and usually a hot start is a precursor to a monster year. Cubs players that have won MVPs in Cubs uniforms, they don't get off to slow starts. They get off to pretty decent starts. And here it is for reference. So now I'm just going to pick a few seasons that we know very well, near and dear to our heart, and let's just see how Kyle Tucker matches up. So as I mentioned, Kyle Tucker's OPS plus, he hit 279, 386, 549 slugging. His OPS plus is 163 for the month of April. This is just April for right now. For reference, let's just go back to a little time called 2004. In 2004, Aramis Ramirez had a monster year. Hit almost 330, 38 home runs. This was really the peak of his offensive production, one of his best years as a Chicago Cub. In 2004, in that April, he hit 308, 333, and 626 for an OPS plus of plus 144. Backed it up in May with a 306, 372, 500, OPS plus 131. Kyle Tucker, 163. Aramis Ramirez, 144. Ryne Sandberg, 1990, folks. In 1990. Oh, yeah, that's right. The year he won the MVP. Just for a reference point, in April, hit 250, 266, 329, OPS plus of 69. Did not get off to a great start. But just so you know how good Rhino was that year, in May that year, 373, 427 on base, 686 slugging, OPS plus 205. In June, hit 377, 438 on base, 789 slugging, 231 OPS plus. So Kyle Tucker's not quite at that level, but he's a bit in the ballpark. Talking about in the ballpark, Andre Dawson in 1987, his MVP season. Month of April, 296, 360 on base percentage, 605 slugging, OPS plus 158, right next to Kyle Tucker's. Chris Bryant, MVP season, 2016, April, 289, 372 on base, 506 slugging, OPS plus 142. Mark Grace, the year that he was flirting with 400 for a little while, in April, 378, 444 on base, 496, OPS plus 143. And then Sammy Sosa in 1998, 343, 403, 556, OPS plus 152. There's another guy I left out of there on the list, and I know what you're thinking. Derek Lee in 2005 simply just wasn't fair. In April, he had 419, 490, 767 slugging for a 236 OPS plus. Hit 419 in the month of April. So what I'm getting at right here is that Kyle Tucker has checked all the boxes. He has passed the tests. I watched him a lot in Houston. I had an opportunity. I did a bunch of work covering the Houston Astros for a bunch of years, so I'm very familiar with Kyle Tucker. And I promise you, this guy is an elite top eight hitter. And he has shown it as such. That month of April on full display of what he is capable of. And what he is capable of is the potential to have the type of season that Cubs fans still to this day talk about. Forever and ever, Cubs fans are always going to talk about the 87 MVP for Andre Dawson, what Rhino did in 90, what Sammy did in 98, how good Derek Lee was in 2005, some of the best seasons of Aramis Ramirez, the MVP season of Chris Bryant in 2016. And I know Kyle Tucker's cooled off a little bit, and I promise you he's going to heat up again because his start in April was on par with some of those great seasons in Chicago Cubs history. And that should give you all you need to know about whether he is worth his salt and whether the Chicago Cubs should pay him or not. A lot of people think it's going to be between $400 and $500 million. I'm on board with that. I honestly, if I had to take a guess right now, I would probably say 470 to 485 probably gets it done. But he's a left-handed hitter. He's incredibly low maintenance from a personality standpoint. He's already got double digits and stolen bases. He's been coming up clutch in huge moments, late in games on a consistent basis. He can hit the ball over the ballpark. Left-handed, still pretty young, plays gold glove defense. Honestly, what else do you want? If you are Tom Ricketts, what is the criteria to hand out a big boy contract in Major League Baseball to one of these guys? Because Kyle Tucker checks every single box. And again, I will say this as we're about to wrap up here and take a break on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890. Chicago Cubs fans do have a say in this. Because as a Cubs fan, you can put pressure on the front office with your love. That's right, I said it. Love still has a currency in this world. And here's what I mean. With Kyle Tucker, if you're a Cubs fan, every time he comes up to the plate, give him a standing ovation. Start the MVP chants. We got the nickname King Tuck for him. Let's come up with a couple of others. Let us sing songs about him. Let us toast secret toasts to his health and his prosperity. Because in my opinion, if you put the pressure on the front office by making King Tuck, Kyle Tucker, an indispensable part of the Wrigleyville experience, if you walk up and down the aisles and everyone's got Tucker jerseys on, if every time he walks out to right field, we are bowing down to him, then he becomes an undeniable, indispensable piece of the marketing plan for the Ricketts family and the Cubs to continue to make money in that area. They could say to themselves, yeah, we could get rid of him and we're still going to make money because we always have. Part of that is absolutely true. But another part of it is, if we were to do that as Cubs fans, if we were to wrap our arms around King Tuck, and all summer long, Kyle Tucker We schmooze him. We love him. We cheer for him. We sing for him. We wear shirts. We make signs. And then if we were to have that taken away, I personally think as a fan, that's one of the bigger ultimate betrayals you could possibly do, to not sign a player that beloved and that admired in this town. We haven't had a superstar here in quite some time in Chicago. We've got a couple of budding ones, right? Kyle Tucker is ready-made. He just needs to spend a little time on the north side before he becomes ours, and he's one of our superstars. We've got young players like Connor Bedard, and we've got a young quarterback named Caleb Williams. We love the potential. We think they can get there, but they're not quite there yet. Kyle Tucker is ready-made in this town to own it, to be the best, brightest superstar Chicago sports has to offer. Chicago Cubs fans, if we act in turn and treat him that way, it only sets up a leverage position that the front office can't deny. That if they were to walk away from Kyle Tucker, there is no way you can spin that, and there's no way possibly you could get over it. And not signing Kyle Tucker could be one of the most ultimate betrayals we've ever seen as Chicago Cubs fans. And trust me, we've seen a lot. Just because it won a World Series in 2016 doesn't mean I forget all the pain that came before it. This would be not signing Greg Maddux all over again. So I know I'm doing this rant right now while Kyle Tucker maybe isn't playing his best baseball, but I think it's the perfect time to do that right now. And say that Kyle Tucker is the future of the Chicago Cubs. He's the rug that ties the room together. And as Cubs fans, if we acknowledge it with our voice, with our fandom, with our pride, with our love, with our cheers, then it is undeniable that the front office then has to step up and finally enter into the 21st century market or the 2020s market of paying baseball players. Because right now, still, again, $177 million, Dansby Swanson, most they've ever spent on a player. To have a superstar, to keep him in-house, and to make that superstar yours and make him synonymous with success and winning baseball in Chicago, you got to pay up. Cubs to this point haven't done it. We all believe that one day they were going to. They still haven't yet. And this is the opportunity right in front of them at their doorstep. He is on the team right now. And I promise you, he is going to get hot again and have a monster season. And he's already off to the month of April, already showed you that he is capable of offensive production that goes right up against some of the best offensive players we've ever seen wear a Cubs uniform. Signing Kyle Tucker to an extension should be undeniable. I'm going to keep saying it over and over and over again until it happens.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.